Mayfield for the end zone. Moore, touchdown.
With time, throws it short. Foreman with the catch. Foreman to the end zone for the touchdown. Warriors' long pass of the day is 15 yards, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson, untouched for the touchdown.
What's up, Bears fans? Welcome in. Exciting episode tonight. Not a real exciting weekend last weekend for those of us who are JF1 supporters. Timing kind of stunk considering our show was Friday and the deal happened on Saturday, but a lot to talk about with that. We have a super awesome guest that'll be joining us later. As always, I'm your host, Tim Willis, and my co-host over here to my right is my brother, Jeff. Jeff, why don't you welcome in the crowd on this fine Friday evening?
What's up, everybody? It's good to see everybody here. I don't know what happened. For some reason, I don't have everybody's comments in my chat. I just am in the private chat. I don't know what happened to my regular section, but
I don't have it either.
In any case, I appreciate you guys all being here as usual on Fridays. Unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, you know, Justin Fields is gone now, and he was a big part of this team for the last 3 years. He's a great guy. Very well respected in the city and by his teammates. Regardless of how you feel about him on the field, it's sad to see him go for a lot of different reasons. So we will get into it a little bit today. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it. But, you know, just because of the fact that, you know, he was a big part of this team for 3 years. And whether or not, like I said, everybody agrees with the fact that, you know, or has certain opinions on his play on the field, I should say, it's still a sad day to see a guy like that go because he was such a good person and a good leader and so well respected. So we'll dig into that a little bit, but also we got to obviously talk about what this is going to mean. And the likely scenario here is what all roads are leading to, which is Caleb Williams going number one. And, you know, he's obviously an exciting prospect for a lot of different reasons. We'll talk a little bit about his pro day workout amongst other things. So, and Tim said, we got a special guest today. So we got a great show for you guys. I think you're really, really, really like this one today.
Yeah, definitely. So let's get it started. We're going to go a couple different directions today. We're going to ask our guests a little bit about the quarterback situation and things of that sort leading into the draft. But let's start. Aldo actually has a clip of Josh Lucas on Pro Football Night in Chicago with Mark Carmen. So let's go ahead and play that, Aldo, if you don't mind, and then we'll discuss it after.
This four-year experience with Justin, there's failures on both sides. You know, let's just talk about Justin first. The league just told us he's viewed as a backup quarterback. Why is he viewed as a backup quarterback? Two-minute,
yep.
Third down,
yep.
Fourth quarter turnovers, pressure situations, consistency in the pocket, playing on time, too much holding onto the ball. And then there's durability issues that go with a running quarterback. That's on Justin's side. If I were to say the organization had anything to do with why he's still not the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, I think in 2021, we were in a very unique situation.
Yep.
We pretty much had to take a quarterback. We did not have the infrastructure on offense to support a rookie quarterback. And we really, really wanted Andy Dalton to play that entire year. We had offensive coordinator and Bill Lazor, who had a lot of success with Andy in Cincinnati. He was comfortable with Andy. We weren't very good up front. We needed someone who'd get the ball out quick. Week two, Andy gets hurt. Justin goes in. If there's one thing I can point to, we failed him in Cleveland that next week. It was bad. It was one of the worst days of my NFL career, sitting in that press box in Cleveland, watching that game and what happened to Justin. That can be hard to recover. That can be hard to recover. So I think we had to play him a little bit too soon. We did him no favors in that Cleveland game. He was a 2-year starter who we really thought needed to sit an entire year. And I would say his first 2 years in the NFL, he didn't have enough around him. But last year, I thought there was enough around him for them to be much better offensively. And he was a big part of the reason why they weren't.
So I'll start really quickly. So a couple of things. He's right about several things in the situation, obviously. He was there firsthand for drafting Justin and how that started. But I have a few issues with a few things he said. Number one, he's been on record saying that they wanted Andy Dalton to start for the entire season to groom Justin and prepare him to be a quarterback in the NFL. But, you know, the whole process, the way they went through it, I didn't care for. Number one, you already had Nick Foles on the roster. And in my opinion, Nick Foles is a better quarterback at that point in their careers than Andy Dalton anyway. So they could have just done that to begin with. Number two, you had all three quarterbacks on the roster at one point. Andy goes down. Do they start Nick Foles? Nope. They threw Justin Fields to the Wolves. Made no sense to me at the time. Still makes no sense to me. And at that point, I understand the coach decides who plays and who doesn't. But at some point, the GM has to step in and say, hey, nope, our guy's not ready yet. He's not ready. We need to go ahead and put Nick out there. Let Nick play until Justin is ready to go. But for whatever reason, that's not what they did. And they threw Justin out there to get killed in Cleveland. Secondly, Matt Nagy, in my opinion, at that point, was just trying to save his job. And most people would probably agree with that. They threw Justin out there to try to make something happen, to try to salvage their jobs because they knew that it was on the line. And to me, at what point, I get you wanting to save your job, but did Justin really give you a better chance to win at that point? No, Nick Foles did. And anybody that has watched them play or watched either of them play could tell you at that point in their careers, considering Justin had never even played in the NFL, Nick gave you the best chance to win, Nick Foles. So that's my first issue. My second issue, he talks about how they never really gave him an opportunity in his second year in the offense to really succeed, which is true. And last year he's saying now that he did have more weapons and more things and that he thought that he could have developed in that way, which there were some more weapons last year, but let's face reality. He had really one weapon. He had DJ Moore. He had a running game behind him. Yes. The offensive line ended up in shambles. And it was, Josh is correct as far as they tried to build a team, you know, that started to get a little bit better last year. The offensive line, the plan was for, and on paper, I remember going into the season before the season started, going into preseason thinking this offensive line is much improved. It's going to be a good O-line unit this year. And as we all know, and it happens frequently in the NFL, injuries happen. Other things happened, like the Nate Davis situation with his mom passing. Those things happen, and then the unit itself was never what it was supposed to be. The five starters that were brought in for that, or the five guys that they had planned to start, never started together at the beginning of the season, and it was like a revolving door constantly of different lineup or a different line combinations, which is a frequent thing in Chicago that we've seen over the last several years. So to me, I understand that, his point that they were trying to improve the roster and whatnot, and he felt like Justin had a better opportunity. But let's face reality, the team still wasn't ready to do anything yet. It's the offense still wasn't built. The defense carried them all season. And anybody that has an eye for football knows that. The defense carried them. And the offense was a shell of itself. And yes, Justin does have a lot of that is on Justin. And we've talked about this many times on the show. The not being able to get the ball out quickly. It's taking too long to see his reads. Sometimes trying to make too much happen at once and it's not there. A lot of sacks. The fumbles. There were a lot of things. The fourth quarter, the poor fourth quarter play. Crunch time not being able to come back and win or not being able to hold a lead. So there's a lot of things that are fair. But again, we hear it all the time. Wins are not a quarterback stat. And it's not fair to put it all on the quarterback. Although you can definitely blame Justin for several things or put some blame on Justin. It's a cohesive thing. It's the entire unit. It's 22 guys and the coaches. It's on all of them and management. It is on everybody how the team does. So you cannot put that all on Justin. But again, to me, you can't say that it's that he had a scenario where he could really succeed last year because I just didn't see it the same way.
Okay, so a lot there. So first of all, there's a couple comments in here that I want to address. First of all, I told you guys at the top of the show, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but we still have to consider the fact that this just happened, that Justin just got traded, okay? And this guy's been here for 3 years. And regardless of whether or not you want to see him gone or whether you want to see him be moved on from, which it's been leaning that way for a while. We've been seeing it for the past month or so at least. Like Aldo says, this is news. We have to talk about this, okay? It's something that happened. This guy's been here for 3 years, and he's a great dude, okay? So regardless of whether you want him gone or not, we still have to consider that this is a human element to this too. So, yes, nobody's crying that he's gone per se. I mean, there are people who are, but we're not. It's sad that he had to move on because we wish it would have worked out. Who doesn't? Would it not have been better for the quarterback situation to work out now? We didn't have to spend the top pick on a quarterback. Sure, it's a great situation, and Caleb is possibly going to be a great player. That's the hope. But would it not have been better to not have to take a quarterback because you know the guy you have is the guy? Of course it would. But that wasn't the case. You know, there's a lot to like in Justin, but, you know, it's obvious that there was a reason that they moved on. We've been talking about that, okay? We just mentioned it. In Josh Lucas's interview, he just nailed most of the points that we've been talking about also in the past few episodes we've had. So I told you guys about a month ago or so. When the combine comes around, we're going to start to hear more and more smoke about, you know, what's going to happen. And once that did happen and you started to hear about what things were going on, what was being said, you know, the trade market and things of that nature, it started to sound more and more like, okay, this is going to happen. Billy Ocean says business is business. And it is. You know, they had no choice but to move on because they felt like this was the better situation. Another thing that I've mentioned to you guys is that it's important to this regime, the person and the player combined together. And there's been some reporting and stuff going on the last week or so about Caleb the person. And there's been a lot of positive stuff that's been said about him lately, both with his teammates, from his teammates, with the Bears meeting with him and going to a dinner with him. There was an article that Brad Biggs wrote speaking about these things. You guys should go check that out if you can. But yeah, it's just, you know, there's a lot that's been said that's been liked. You know, I can't confirm everything, what's true and what's not true, but that's what the reporting says. And one thing I told you guys before is we don't know anything about these people until you start hearing things from others, okay? I've never met the guy. So every time I hear a report or something, I'm going to listen to it, okay? Regardless of, you know, what it is. Now, obviously, I'm going to try to take reputable sources if I can. So when I mentioned to you guys last week that we've been hearing stuff from both Josh Lucas and Greg Gabriel in the past has mentioned that they've heard some things about Caleb that were concerning to them, we said that that was something to pay attention to because that is, you know, obviously they're hearing it from other reputable people that they know in the league. So I don't know if that's smoke because teams didn't want the Bears to go after Caleb, hoping that they would pass on him, or if it's just bullshit that, you know, people for whatever reason want to spew because that's the world we live in today or what have you. It could be a lot of different things, but
it could also be, maybe that's, you know, that's something that scared Josh Lucas and Greg, but it may not be something that scares Bears brass now.
That's true too. It could be a subjective issue. I agree with that. So, but the fact of the matter is what we're seeing is Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, the Bears regime. I can't believe I just did that. The Bears regime does not see him as an issue. Obviously they see this guy as the guy, the dude that's going to have his teammates gravitate towards him. That's going to play hard for him. That's going to lead this team, that's going to be the face of the franchise. That's the hope. And so far, as we'd mentioned to you guys before, the tape doesn't lie. We can all see the talents there. It's undeniable. It was all a matter of who is the person. And we've been asking that for a few weeks now. And as we get more and more answers, you start to see more and more. He's a more and more likable guy the more and more you see from him. So from my perspective here, I understand what's going on. I'm not hating on the fact that we moved on from Justin. It's sad. Of course it's sad, because he's a great guy and we would want him to have success, because we don't want to go down this road again. Who does? Do we want to move on again in 3 years from Caleb Williams? No. The hope is that he's the guy. So let's just support this. Hope that's the case. We're not going to live in the past, but we obviously have to address the news that he's gone. And it is sad. It's a sad day to see that happen. So, but again, as I've been saying to you guys for the past few weeks now, really the past couple months, you know, this is an exciting time. The Bears are in a great spot. You know, they've got the number one pick in the draft. They obviously feel confident about this guy because they're about to take him. That's what it looks like. All reports are leading that way. All signs are leading that way. Unless something catastrophic happens in the next couple weeks, I don't want to say it's a foregone conclusion, but it's looking more and more likely. It's Caleb Williams, guys. So, you know, let's just get on board with it. Let's understand that and see, you know, now we're looking at here is what do they do with the ninth pick? And what are they going to do without a second round pick?
Well, how do we maneuver? Before you go into that, can I?
I don't want to. I just wanted to make that point now. So, but this is, you know, I understand why there's frustration that people keep talking about it, because we are moving on to a new era. I get that. But again, guys, this is news. We got to talk about it. It's still a sad day. And Asoyu says Poles is building his team. I see what you're saying there too. Now, the one thing I saw at wine tasting, you made a comment earlier that I wanted to mention about every GM likes to pick their own quarterback. And typically that probably is the case. I'm sure most GMs have a guy that they like that they want to take, and they don't like to stick with a guy that they had before. But I will say this, if Justin Fields had proved in the first 3 years, you know, regardless of the situation around him, that he could be the guy, I don't think we're having this conversation right now. I don't think Poles is thinking, I got to go get my guy, because he knows he has one. But Justin didn't show that, you know, especially in like the fourth quarter, the 2 minute situations, you know, the fumbles. There were some, you know, like I told you guys before too, that I felt like he'd shown a lot of growth at the end of the year last year. But in the 3 years, there is just not enough to most teams. And the trade value showed that. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. And we just got to have hope and move on and understand that, you know, this is our future. And let's just hope that Caleb is the guy.
So there's a couple things I want to point out really quickly. I know some people don't necessarily, they just want to move on. They don't want to talk about Justin anymore. And they think it's just, you know, because we're fans of his or whatever. But there's a couple of points I want to bring up really quickly. One, King Booker World was just on the screen and he said, you know, I may not like the deal, but I support the Bears. And Aldo was also on screen just a few moments ago. And he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, here it is. Fans have no respect for Justin after he played hard for 3 seasons, played well enough to earn the praise, respect of his teammates, should take a step back. And I 100% agree with that. And I'm going to go into a story really quickly about this. My son, he's 10 years old. You guys saw him a couple weeks ago. He was with us. He sat in on our show. And he, like I said, he's 10 and he's a huge Bears fan. Justin Fields to him is like the Michael Jordan of the Bulls, because this is the only guy. Now, you know, he was alive when Trubisky was here, but he was like 5 or 6 years old. He doesn't really remember that very well. He remembers Justin Fields as the quarterback of Chicago. And the day the trade happened, I told him, the second it happened, I was in the car with him and I told him, and immediately tears just start pouring down from his face. And we get home and he went to his room, went into his closet and sat on the floor of his closet and just cried for an hour straight. Guys, I'm not kidding. A 10-year-old kid, he felt that much emotion from a player, a guy he's seen him in person, but he's never actually met him. You know, for a guy to mean that to him that he doesn't know personally should say a lot about the situation. And, you know, we can say a lot of different things about the situation and how it was the right move. And I 100% understand the thought process and why Ryan made the move. But at the same time, we need to take a step back, like Aldo is saying, and appreciate what Justin Fields did for not only the Chicago Bears, but the city of Chicago in general and the fan base. The guy gave everything he had, put his heart and soul and every ounce of ability he had, and worked his rear end off for this team and to win football games. He gave everything he had. And at the end of the day, the Bears failed him, as he failed a little bit as well, but the Bears failed him. And everybody, for the most part, is on record and agreeing with that statement that the Bears certainly failed him in development. They never gave him the opportunity to be fully and properly developed. As Greg Gabriel says all the time, if you watch his podcast here on the Barroom Network, Gabriel Talks Football, he says all the time, he's never been coached. Justin Fields has never been coached. And I'm glad that he's going to a situation in a winning culture and a winning organization and a coach who's never had a losing record in the NFL with Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. But for people to just throw the towel and kick Justin to the wayside and say, basically say, good riddance, we don't want you here. I understand that you may not have wanted him as the quarterback anymore, and rightfully so, if you feel like, in which we all saw that there were struggles in the team. Just he's 10-28 as a starter, guys. It's not, we can't argue for that. There's nothing we can really say. But to sit here and throw him to the wayside and basically say, screw you, dude, get lost, it's completely disrespectful. For one, he's a human being. And for what he did for the city and what he did for this team and all the everything he gave to try and play for this team and try to win for this team, have a little more respect for the guy and be a little bit more thankful. Because to be fair, he was the best quarterback we've had minimum since Jay Cutler and probably even before that. The guy gave a special skill set and a talent that this city has never seen from the quarterback position. The guy is an elite talent. You can't argue it. He didn't have the success with the wins and the passing yards and the passing stats. But the guy had a special talent and ability that very, 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 very few human beings on this planet have. That's all I want to say about that. I know that was a little bit long-winded, but I want to give a little bit of context and a little bit more understanding for what Justin has given this organization and this fan base. Jeff, do you have anything you want to say about that as well?
Well, yes and no. So at the end of the day, like I said, guys, you know, Eddie has a good point here. He gets the sentiment towards trading Fields. We definitely failed him. I mean, he's right. We did. We did fail Fields. I mean, you can say whatever you want about Justin's performance, but at the end of the day, you know, the last 2 years were a rebuild and they had to tear the roster down to do that. And whether or not that's fair to Justin or not, it's something they had to do, but it didn't do him any favors. So they did fail Justin, especially his, you know, considering in fact his rookie year, they didn't set him up for success either. So, you know, I understand the reasoning behind that, the rationale behind that, why we're upset with this whole situation, you know, but again, there's light at the end of the tunnel here. It is a business decision. And whether you agree with it or not, Tim just mentioned that Justin's the most talented quarterback we've had in the city of Chicago. Well, Caleb Williams is about to walk in and be the most talented quarterback the city has ever seen too. So more talented than even Justin. So in different ways, arm talent, no doubt. The arm talent, he is no doubt the most talented quarterback the city will ever see right now. He'll walk in the door and be that way. And that's just, you know, his arm is that electric. So I'll talk about his pro day workout in a little bit, you guys, but I mean, it's just the throwing motion is so effortless. The ball just spins out of his hand. He can throw to all levels of the field with touch. He can throw strikes. He can throw deep balls. I mean, the guy, he can do it all. He can do it on the run. He runs well when he needs to. The guy is just, I mean, he's supremely talented. There's no doubt about it. And as I mentioned to you guys before, it's that person aspect. And the Bears is seeming like they love it. So at least that's what we're seeing right now. So let's just jump on his back, support him, and hope that, and many other people have talked about this before too. This is probably the best situation any number one quarterback pick has ever walked into. It's very possible that that's the case. I mean, you got to think of all the weapons that Caleb's going to have around him. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett. And his offensive line that's only getting better. He's got a number one pick right tackle in Darnell Wright. And last year was the 10th overall pick. And he's only getting better. He was an all-rookie team last year. They got a young tackle on the left side in Braxton Jones, who they may or may not try to upgrade at. We'll see. But he's good enough. And he's got traits that you could obviously see as a guy who could be dominant if you see him in that trajectory. So maybe they upgrade, maybe they stick with Jones. But in any case, my point here is that they got a lot to like on the offensive side of the ball, not to mention the defense and how good they were last year. You know, this is a really good situation for Williams to walk into. So we can talk about expectations a little bit later too, because I do want to get into that some. But my point was, guys, it was a sad day because of the person that Justin is, the situation he was in, the fact that we didn't get things done with him, you know, but it is time to move on. We had to talk about what we had to talk about, obviously, guys, because he was a big part of this team for 3 years. But, you know, he is gone now and the future is looking bright. So, like I said, let's support the likely quarterback who walks in, who is going to be Caleb. Like I said, it looks like. So let's Mr. Mayhem, real quick. I see your comment about Caleb being only 6 foot. I've seen some stuff with this guys lately and I want to address this. So there's a discrepancy here at the pro day workout. Caleb measured at 6 foot. Everybody sees the 6007 is what you see when you look at the measurables. What those numbers actually means are Caleb is 6'7" 1/8". So he's basically 6'1". Okay. And his report at the combine was, I believe he was like 6'1" and either a quarter or an eighth or something like that. So it was a minimal difference. And 6'1" is honestly fine. And if you actually look at this dude, if you see him in person, so like we'll talk about his pro day later too. Like Keenan Allen was there right before he shook up with Keenan. You could see him walking on the field. He is a big some bitch. Okay. Caleb Williams is pretty jacked. He is a big dude. He's about 6'1", but he is every bit of 215 pounds and just stacked. So I feel like he's not going to have any kind of issues taking hits or anything like that. And he hasn't had durability concerns. So his size does not worry me whatsoever. And 6'1" is just fine to me. So Williams, I don't have any issues with the size or any of those things. That's never been a concern of mine. The one, like I said to you guys before, the one concern of mine is what kind of person he is, what kind of leader of men he is, and all of that stuff is trending in a positive direction. So let's be positive here and let's have high hopes. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I agree. So let's dive in a little bit to Caleb and the draft situation and things of that sort. So Jeff was just talking about a little bit about Caleb and his pro day and how his arm looked and how he's able to just pepper balls in different places with touch. And he can also throw on a line. The arm talent's definitely there, guys. We've never said that wasn't true on this show. We've always said that the talent is there. It was never a talent issue for us. So a couple things I also want to mention. You talked about him being only 6 feet tall. He's almost 6'1". He's just shy of 6'1". But the way he plays and the way he's able to change his arm angles and things like that, it's really impressive. He's able to fit the ball in the lanes. The way he throws and the way it reminds me a lot. And this is the part that reminds me of Mahomes more than anything else, is that part of his game. I really like that part. I love the release is so quick. It just flicks out of his hand. I was watching him in slow motion. And even with that, it was still immediately out of his hand, like effortless. It was a beautiful, like Jeff said, it was almost effortless for him. It's a really beautiful thing to see it happen. I like that part of it. That's something we haven't seen, is that quick release like that. And that's, you know, that's a statistic in the NFL that does have some weight to it. Like there's a lot of the great quarterbacks have that quick release because, let's face it, you get the ball out really quickly, even when there's pressure in your face. So that's something I really like about him. But again, these are a lot of things that we never saw developed with Justin. Whether or not that's on Justin or not, maybe they were teaching him those things and he just never got it figured out. But I have a hard time believing that's probably the case. I feel like Justin really would have worked on something if they had tried, but that's neither here nor there. But again, these are things I really like about him. And there's some interesting things here as far as the draft goes and whatnot. But there, let's go ahead and talk really quickly. There's been a lot of top 30 visits already that have happened or are scheduled to happen. And there's a couple of things I want to point out or really ask really quickly anyway for you in the chat, Jeff. So there seems to be like a wide range of thoughts about where they can go with that number 9 pick, whether or not they're going to take somebody or they're going to trade that pick down. That seems to be the consensus for most of us is you have to trade down there because you got to accrue some more capital that you don't have. So there's a couple of things. You could make the argument that if a certain player falls, then they take them there. I happen to be of the mindset that if there's any chance on earth Joe Alt falls to 9, you snatch him in a heartbeat. I don't care how good they feel about Braxton Jones. Joe Alt is – this guy is really, really good. Huh?
I would not hate it.
No, I would not either. I mean, he's really good. There's a lot of people talking out there right now like any team would be stupid to not take Joe Alt if they have the opportunity because well,
here's the way good. I look at it. So just since we're talking about this right now, let me just jump in real quick with this. The way I look at it is this. There's a handful of players that the Bears could obviously consider at 9. And let's just put it this way. There is no way at least one of these players does not fall to the Bears at 9. So that brings up my thing is, do they move down or is one of the, or are one of those guys enough to say, hey, that's the dude, let's take him. Like whether it be Dallas Turner or Rome Odunze or maybe even Joe Alt, like you said. I mean, but here's the thing with Alt. Like I said, he's a great player. We're Notre Dame fans, as most of you guys know. I've been watching him play for a long, long time. He might be the best tackle prospect I've seen in several years. This dude is like the shit. Okay. Yes. He's going to be really, really good.
And well, if you guys didn't know, he was a tight end coming into Notre Dame. His freshman year, he was a tight end. They switched him to tackle.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, supreme movement skills and athleticism. I don't think he falls to 9 regardless. Scottish Bear thinks he's going to go to the Titans. It very well could be. I wouldn't be surprised to see that. But at the end of the day, would he be an upgrade on Braxton Jones? Probably. Greg Gabriel has mentioned in the past on his show that Braxton Jones has elite traits with length and athleticism also, and where they got him at, how cheap he is. And if the thing is this, is if they see that they can still make him not just a serviceable player over there, but good enough to where they can win with him, maybe you don't take Alt, especially depending on who else is there. But I mean, if you see Alt as a guy who's going to like upgrade your line so much and really solidify your tackle positions and protect your rookie quarterback, I wouldn't hate that, guys. And we're talking, this is a guy who, a GM who is an offensive minded guy. He played offensive line at Boston College. Okay. So he clearly has a mindset for this or an eye for this. And his assistant GM, Ian Cunningham, is the same thing. They're offensive minded guys or offensive line minded guys, I should say. So if they took Alt, I would not hate that. The guy is going to be an animal. I really think he's going to be one of the best tackles in this league and very, very, very quickly. So I wouldn't hate it. But again, Braxton Jones, it wouldn't surprise me if they were okay with him. And like I said, depending on who else is there at 9, if Dallas Turner falls to 9, guys, I don't see a world where you don't take that guy. I mean, this is just my personal opinion, but he has everything you could possibly want. Motor runs hot as hell. He's got length for days. He's explosive as shit. He's extremely athletic. He's got great bend. He can stop the run. I would like to see him put on some weight and get a little stronger, but that length tells you he can be stout and set edges. This guy is going to be the shit. I love Dallas Turner. And if the Bears could get him, if he falls tonight, I will be jumping around like crazy, especially if they take him. So that's my personal preference there, just to kind of get off track a little bit, but to get back onto what we were talking about, Alt, could be an option there. So I didn't mean to cut you off, Tim, but he's a very good player, and I would not be surprised to see the Bears take him.
Yeah, and like I said, he's definitely the best tackle prospect I've seen in a long time. Notre Dame is known for good offensive linemen, guys. If you don't know and you haven't seen, there's a lot of really good offensive linemen from Notre Dame that are playing in the NFL right now and are studs. Several of them. And one thing we've learned from Notre Dame offensive linemen, they have longevity in the NFL. They play for a long time. Zach Martin is still playing at a high level in Dallas.
Michael Lynchy.
McGlinchey and the kid from the Colts. Why am I blocking his name right now?
Quentin Nelson.
Quentin Nelson might be the best offensive line prospect I've ever seen.
Ronnie Stanley
still starting. They're known for tackles or for offensive linemen guys. And Harry Hiestand has been at Notre Dame for a long time until this year where he's now retired. But like they're just known for offensive linemen, and they do a really good job of developing those guys and getting them ready for the NFL. And like Jeff was saying, the athletic traits are off the charts because of his, transition from playing tight end in high school and his freshman year at Notre Dame. The only reason he even became a tackle is because there were two in the starting left tackle went down, and then the backup left tackle went down, and they threw him out there. And he's now the best tackle prospect in this year's draft. So the guy definitely has the talent and the ability, but he's not the only one either. I feel like that there's a couple of different guys that if they fell, there's no question the Bears should take them if they're there. I feel like if Roma Dunze is there, you take him too, because it'd be hard for him to fall to 9 as well. There's a lot of teams that kid's got, a talent that's ready to really explode. So, but it looks like our guest is here. So,
10 minutes, Tim.
10 minutes. Okay. But yeah, we'll wait it here in a minute, and then we'll talk about it. But yeah, like I said, I feel like the talent is definitely there with Roma Dunze, and his character is off the charts. I love his I love this kid, guys. I'm not gonna lie to you. Marvin Harrison is a stud, and everybody's talking about, if you want to put a generational quote on a player, it's him. But Roma Dunze is my favorite wide receiver in this class. I love this guy. I love the yak ability, the speed. He can go up and get the ball. He's an excellent route runner. He's everything you want in an X. He's a true X. Guy is 6'3". I think he's 215, 220. He's a big dude. He could come in there right now and be your X. I don't think he would need a whole lot of time to develop. He and Caleb Williams, if you guys don't know this, have built a really good relationship. And they talk often, and they really like each other. They both want to play with each other, it sounds like. They've both made comments about that already. So this is something I could definitely see happening, especially if he falls, which, let's face reality, guys. Somebody is falling to 9 that should not be there. Whether that's Dallas Turner, like Jeff said, whether that's Roma Dunze, whether that's Joe Alt, somebody's going to fall. I will tell you, in my opinion, the least likely of all them to fall is going to be Joe Alt, because he is that guy.
And he's a tackle.
I was just going to say, left tackle is so important in the NFL, having that guy that can anchor your offensive line. He's going to be the guy that protects your quarterback's blind spot for the future. Definitely a guy that I could see. I don't see him falling past 9 or 2-9. So I think he's going to be gone. I can 100% see Roma Dunze falling to 9. Although the talent is definitely there for him to go earlier, a wide receiver is going to fall. There's a ton of really good ones in this draft. I don't think teams are going to jump up at the top to take receivers like everybody thinks they are because of how deep this draft is at wide receiver. So that I could see falling. Edge rushers, in my opinion, they're going to be the ones that do not fall. They're going to be the ones that go quick. I know everybody assumes right now that because of this class that the guys will fall, but edge rusher and tackle are the two positions in the draft that they go quick in the first round, and that's you're not going to see a lot of them last longer than that. So that's my opinion on it. So to me, if you're gonna wait it out at 9, I think the most likely scenario is one of those wide receivers falls there. But I do think that they're going to trade the pick down. Unless, like I said, unless a Dunze is there or all or Dallas Turner maybe or late too, which I feel like a lot of teams feel like you can get him later because of the medicals. But I do think they're going to have to trade that pick. They're going to have to collect some assets somewhere. And to me, it's either you trade down at 9 and pick up a second round pick, hopefully, which that's going to take, you're going to have to probably go down to at least, 12 to 15 to get there. But the only other way to do that is to trade future draft capital, which Poles does not really like doing, and he's already traded a bunch of draft picks this year. So to me, that's really the scenario that I expect to happen is a trade down. Like I said, unless one of those guys are there, for those of you who think that they're, I'm telling you, I don't see this happening. This is strictly my opinion. There is no chance on earth that they're going to take Jackson Powers Johnson with the number 9 overall pick. It's not going to happen, guys. I like him a lot. I really do. But there's several really good centers in this draft, and you're going to get them in the second round. There's several of them you're going to get in the second round. Heck, he might even
fall to the second round pick,
which I doubt, but he could even fall to the second round. So to me, guys, it ain't going to happen. They're not going to reach for a center at 9 with all of that talent still there. It's not going to happen. That's what you do when your lineup or your team is deep like they are, but they're not deep. So what's that, Jeff McCurry?
I was going to say, I agree with you. They're not going to take him at 9, but
no, no way. Now, if they trade down to 15 to 20, something, yeah, then possibly, but definitely not at 9. That's not going
to
happen.
That's so what I was trying to say.
And Jeff and I have been on record on the show before. We love Zach Frazier, who you will find in the second round. So that's a guy to definitely look at. Go ahead, Jeff. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to say, if I can get a word out, word in edgewise here, they don't have a second round pick right now. So if they did want to get in there, they would have to move down from 9, most likely. So they could do that. And I asked, actually, it was an interesting thought that I've had recently, guys. I want to know what you guys think about this. So I asked Greg on GTF last week what he thought about the possibilities of the Bears. And this is just a random question. What the possibility of the Bears using a second round pick next year, because they have two of them, and likely the one from Carolina because it's going to be higher, using one of those picks to move back into round 2 this year, and what he thought the likelihood was of that. And obviously, you're not just going to trade a 2 next year for a 2 this year. It's got less value. So you'd have to sweeten the deal a little bit. And he said that he'd also thought about that scenario too. And he thought it was possible. We just have to see what kind of happens. So I think if they move down from 9, they probably pick up a second round pick, but I'm not sure how else they would do that unless they traded one of those second rounders next year, which I wouldn't be surprised to see that. Not sure that you do. I guess it just depends on the player and if you really want someone there. But that was my thought on that. But in regards to centers, you'd mentioned a couple of them, Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier. I think both of those guys could go in the first round, probably late in the first round. I think Jackson Powers Johnson could go somewhere in mid first round even. So we'll see what happens, but they're both really good players. I don't know if they'll move. Sean doesn't think they're going to get into the second round. We'll see. Right now they're not. So the only way they would is if they, like I said, I gave you guys a few scenarios just now how I think they could, but like we were just talking about earlier, they've got so many possibilities they could have at number 9. There's going to be a few people there that, I mean, we've seen asked about Neighbors, Adunze, Alt, you know, Dallas Turner, as I said. One of those guys is probably going to fall to 9. And did the Bears like one of those guys enough to pass on a second round pick? Or do they say, you know, we really need to invest some more on this team. We need more picks. Let's move down a little bit and get another pick and maybe get somebody else. Clip mentions it. I gave Tim an eye roll when he was running his mouth, and I kind of did because I was trying to talk and I couldn't get anything in, but that's pretty funny. But I see you guys. Most of you guys don't think that they would trade a future second to get back in. What does Antonio say here? I just missed it. That he doesn't think to get into the second round, they need to trade in the 20 is no chance. I think there is a chance. I think it's doubtful. And the reason is just because of what we just said, because I think there's plenty of guys there that could be a possibility. What do we think of Brian Thomas at 9? Antonio asks, I would be shocked if they took Thomas at 9, because I think he's more in that like 15 to 20 range or maybe even later. So if they moved down and took him, I wouldn't be surprised. If they moved down and took Brian Thomas, because he is an X receiver, and I do think that's a need for the Bears. Some people have talked about, well, do you think Neighbors or Odunze goes first? I think it's all about preference. They're both very good players, but I think the Bears need an X. So if they were going to take a guy, I wouldn't be surprised by Odunze at 9 if he was there. I wouldn't be surprised by Brian Thomas if they moved down and took him. I would be surprised if they took him at 9, Antonio, yes, because I think that's a little rich for his blood. But In any case, I could see them taking an X somewhere, but this is a very deep receiver class. If we talked to you guys about before, I mean, there's a lot to like in this class, lots of good players. So, I just think that if they're going to take someone early at 9, I feel like I don't know if it would be a receiver at this point, in my opinion. I think they would lean more towards trench player like Dallas Turner and maybe Alt, just because that is such a premium position if they wanted to upgrade there. But I think you guys have heard me, you know, document many times that Turner is the guy that I love at nine if he's there. And I'd be, you know, I'd be all aboard the train for that one if they took him. So we'll see what happens. But that's kind of what I would like to see. And like I said, the receiver class is so deep, I would not be surprised to see them move down and take one later.
Aldo has a question on here on screen. I want to actually answer that because he's asking, would you trade a 2025 second round for a 2024 third?
I wouldn't.
I would not. I mean, I would trade. The only way that I would make
a trade to maybe two thirds would be to
get into the second round. If I could get a two for this year, maybe. Because we've already got the third round pick, and I feel pretty good about that. I've seen in the chat, there's a few that think that we're not getting to the second round. I think we have to get into the second round, in my opinion. There is going to be so much talent that falls out of the first round that you got to get into the second round. You want to get one of those guys or a couple of those guys if you can. So to me, they got to get into the second round. There's going to be a lot of really good talent there. And like I said, it all just depends, guys. I am all for them trading down unless you one of those guys falls at nine. Like I've said here the last few minutes, I really do think that that's the best case scenario would be to trade down and pick up some more capital. But if one of those guys is there, I would 100% support that too. But there's like I said, the wide receivers, there's a lot. And right now we are set as far as a slot and a Z with DJ and, Keenan Allen, but you know, Keenan Allen's only locked up for one more year. As of now, he's only under contract for this season. And unless they extend him, that's all he's got here. So you have to have a plan in place for the future as well. You could probably get away with waiting until next year, but this wide receiver class is really good.
Hey, real quick, I want to answer one more question because we're probably getting close to Herb getting on here. But Antonio asks, because it's based on this topic, if there's a player on the roster worth a second rounder this year, and what if we trade Tevin? So here's my thoughts on this, Antonio. It's not a bad thought. So first of all, I would say Tevin, could he be traded? Possibly. I doubt he's going to be traded, even with the additions that they've made, because there's so, you know, you always have injuries, and he's a dominant player when he's on. So I don't think they trade him. Do they get a second rounder for him? I don't think so. And the reason I say that is because he's had the injury issues in the past, and another team is going to have to say, is he going to be sustainable and healthy enough to play? And then we're going to have to extend him also because he's on the last year of his contract. So that's also another thing to consider there. I don't think they can get a second rounder for him. Are there players on the team that are worth a second round pick? Yes, but I don't think anybody they're going to want to trade. Anybody who's worth a second round pick on the team right now is a building block for the future, in my opinion. So could they trade Jenkins, Antonio? Maybe, but I doubt it. I think they're going to ride with him to the end of his deal. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him draft an interior lineman.
Sorry if I mentioned something you just mentioned. I blanked out for a second there from what you were saying, but yeah, if they do trade him, I don't know if you said this already, but I don't see them getting a second round pick out of him. Even now, with the injury history, I just don't see them getting a second round pick for him. I could see maybe like a fourth or a fifth for him, but I think that's about as much as you're going to get out of him. So to me, guys, you only get a lot of draft compensation for guys that are like really good. Like guys that have had long careers, and all those on screen, not the first time Tim blanks out when his brother says something. That's 100% true. I think I black out about every time we have an argument, but so really quick, our guest is here. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce him. He is the Chicago Bears. I don't even know what the word would be for, but he works for the Bigs. Herb, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us where we can find you?
No doubt. First of all, man, thank y'all so much for having me. I do apologize for being late. It's been one of those days and everything ran a little late. So I do apologize for jumping in late, but I'm happy to be here. Thank y'all so much for having me. My name is Herb Howard. Obviously, I cover the Bears. I'm a beat reporter for the Bigs. Happy to be here, man. What's going on?
Appreciate you coming on, Herb. Thank you for being here with us. We've actually been on for a little bit, so we've talked about some of the the Justin Fields move. And really quickly, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it since we've already talked about it. And I know you're probably sick of hearing it as well. But I got to ask you, Herb, I know you were in the same boat as Jeff and I. We felt like the Bears should have built around Justin and traded the pick. Obviously, that's not what happened. I support it either way. But I just wanted to ask you, I know now that they're moving on, what are your final thoughts on it? And what do you think it means for the quarterback's position moving forward?
Yeah, man. I'm on record. I thought they should have stuck with Justin, took the haul to trade down, ended up with Marvin Harrison Jr. and a slew of other picks. You had the opportunity to get to, you know, maybe have as many as 3 first round picks next year. And so I thought that was the way to go. Ultimately, Ryan Poles has obviously his decision to be made. He made a different decision, and that's fine. Here we are now. I think we end up with a good quarterback prospect. I think the Bears are still in a good position. I think the defense is good. Got some weapons around him, bringing in Keenan Allen, bringing in DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett to put together with DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. So I think they're in a good spot. And so now you just kind of hope that the kid can come in, be prepared, put the work in, and give the Bears the best chance to win. And so I think they're still in a good spot either way. And so, you know, at this point, you know, whichever side of the debate you were on, once the decision maker made their decision, now you just get on board and you want the best for the Bears. That's ultimately where everybody should be. I'd imagine everybody is as a Bears fan. And so now, presumably everybody should be Team Caleb at this point. I certainly am.
So that kind of brings me to a question then, Herb, as far as our future now. So there's been a lot of talk about expectations for the Bears now with Caleb in this next year, especially. What are your, because I hear people saying, oh, he's got to throw for 4,000 yards or the Bears have to make the playoffs. And I feel like, you know, we still are dealing with a rookie. So there's got to be some kind of tempered expectation to an extent. However, he has a very good team around him. So what are your expectations for next year? And what do you kind of expect to see from the Bears and from Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I think it's playoffs. The playoffs should be the floor for this Bears team in 2024, no matter who was going to play quarterback. If it was Justin, if it's going to be Caleb or whoever, the playoffs was absolutely the floor. That's where they should be looking at least to be. Now, I don't think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender right now. I think that window legitimately opens next year for them. I thought the same thing if Justin was here, but a playoff team for sure. And, you know, I think Caleb Williams has obviously a huge role to play in that. He's got a lot of weapons around him, a good supporting cast, but you got to continue to fill as many of the holes that remain on this roster as you possibly can. I think Ryan Poles and the staff will continue to do that. So, yeah, I don't think, you know, this idea of kind of resetting the rookie clock in terms of contract, that's one thing, but resetting the clock in terms of expectations and where this team should be achieving, that's a different thing. And I don't think that changes at all because you chose to go in a different direction. That was your choice, but you don't get to reset the expectations. And I've been hearing some of that on the conversation side too, right? A lot of people who were, you know, driving the Caleb Williams hype train throughout this offseason, now they're like, hey, you got to temper the expectations. I ain't got to temper shit. Like, y'all said he was a Hall of Famer. Y'all said he was the next Patrick Mahomes. I don't got to temper nothing. So don't move the goalpost now, right? You said he was that. He needs to be that. But more importantly, this team should be that as a collective. And so I think they're well positioned to make a playoff run. That's what I expect them to do. Anything less will be a disappointment.
Yeah, I agree with you, everything you're saying. And you know, we've all seen the war on Twitter and X and how everybody was just combating back and forth and how divisive this was. And you know, we finally come to a decision. And it's funny because it was, like you said, everybody that was on the Caleb Williams train was saying, yeah, he's generational and he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes and all these things. And then, yeah, those same exact people you see now, and they're all saying, oh, we got to temper expectations. We can't expect this. And it's like, okay, I understand what you're saying, and I'm of the mindset, yes, you have to temper those expectations a little bit, but at the same time, like, this is the guy that you guys have been clamoring for. You got to stand behind your guy now. This is what you should be expecting from him, because this is what you've been saying this whole time. And, you know, it's
stand on it
part of it, you know. But
stand on it. I mean, if you're gonna say it, and you're gonna say it with your whole chest, like everybody was saying it. Stand on it. It's fine, right?
Right.
I've said this entire process that I think the only surefire generational talent in this draft in terms of offensive skill positions is Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that kid's going to be a Hall of Famer. I'll stand on that. I'll bet you right now, whatever, that, you know, when 5 years after he retires, he'll be in the Hall of Fame. I don't feel that way necessarily about anybody else in this draft. But if you do, that's fine. If you're going to tell me that we got a generational quarterback, stand on it, right? Don't kind of waffle on what you said. You said it, say it. If that's what you believe, that's fine. I certainly hope so. He's the Bears quarterback, so I certainly hope so. But, you know, I just think at this point, you know, the Bears got to go to the playoffs this year. They got to be a Super Bowl contender next year. And, you know, Ryan Poles has hitched his wagon to Caleb Williams. He understands that. And you know, whatever happens is, for better or worse, that's the decision he made, and we'll see what happens. But, as Bears fans, at this point, no matter how much you love Justin, once Ryan Poles, who makes the money to make that decision and earned the right to make that decision, once he made that decision, we got to roll with it, man. We've rooted for the likes of Jonathan Quinn and Craig Krenzel and Henry Burris and, you know what I mean, on Moses Moreno, on and on and on. So, you know, you can certainly get behind a talent like Caleb Williams, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. And you actually, you know, you brought up Marvin Harrison, so that leads me into a question as well. Mm-hmm. But before I do that, Herb, this chat is on fire for you right now, man. They love you in here, and we all appreciate the work that you do. I love your takes. I see you on CHGO all the time. Well, I shouldn't say all the time, but whenever you're on there, I see you on there. I like those guys. They do good content on there, and of course, you add to that for sure, and we really appreciate you coming on again.
But I received the love, and I appreciate it. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to everything y'all do, first and foremost, man. Shout out to everything y'all do on the network. Super dope. Followed it for a long time. Keep up with everything y'all got going on, man. And you know, to all y'all supporters and everybody that follows y'all, I appreciate the love in the chat. I receive it. I reciprocate it. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you, Herb. Thank you. We appreciate you following us. And, you know, it's a big part of our platform, having people like you who watch our show and appreciate our content. It's the same with you. So, We love what you put out, and the feeling is mutual. So, yeah we appreciate you being on. But I wanted to ask you a question before Tim gets into his here real quick. So, speaking of the draft, you mentioned Marvin Harrison. I tend to agree with you. You know, I think the combination of his pedigree and his overall athleticism and just what he's put on tape, I think he can very well be a Hall of Fame player, especially considering, in fact, like I said, you know, his pedigree, his dad, he knows what it takes. Yeah. So, the question that I have for you then is, you know, obviously he's one of your draft crushes. Who are some of your draft crushes, and what do you think the Bears do at 9?
Yeah, other than Marvin Harrison Jr., I wasn't, you know, completely tied to or married to any other players. I think at that point, other than him, it's just about what the Bears need, right? So you get to number 9, and the Bears find themselves in a very intriguing position. And I know Timmy was just saying, like, you know, there's a lot of talk about the potential for the best defensive player to be on the board at 9, but it also might not happen, right? The receivers may fall, or Joe Alt may fall, or somebody may, one of the tackles may fall, right? Probably not Joe Alt, because he's that good. But either way, I think the Bears have an opportunity to get their top defensive player on the board at 9. And if you have 3 quarterbacks go, and 3 receivers go, and 2 tackles go, you would have the first 8 picks be all offense. The number 1 defensive player on the board could be sitting right there for you at 9. I think that's hard to pass up. Now, if somebody does need an edge, as I heard you say, you know, the edge, they may be a run on these edges. They're too good. Some of them may go Verse or Turner or whomever. If that happens, then one of the receivers has to fall, right? Or one of the tackles has to fall. So if you get one of those defensive players in there, then one of those offensive players has to fall. So they're still going to be in a very, very good position. The conundrum is they only got 4 picks. Right. And ideally, you'd want to acquire more picks, and their best ammunition at this point to acquire more picks is that number 9 pick. And so do they trade that back? Do they move down a little later in the first to try and acquire another pick in between? Because they got 9 and 74, 9 and 75, somewhere right there. Right. Yeah. So they don't have a pick in between there. And you talk about a lot of good players that go in between 9 and 75. That's a lot of good players that are going to come off the board, all pro players, Pro Bowl players, you know, some Hall of Fame players will go in that, you know, space. So they got to find a way to probably get in some picks in that realm. But maybe Ryan Poles looks at it differently. Maybe he says, listen, I've only got a few holes left to fill in this roster. I remember asking him before last season, asking for a percentage on, you know, how many holes on the roster does he think he had filled? And at that point, before the 23 season, he's like, man, how about, I think we got, you know, 75-80% of the holes on this roster filled. And I thought it was a legitimate answer. I didn't take it as, you know, a lie. I thought it was reasonable. But now you're going to it. Now you say, okay, going into 24, how do you fill the remaining 20-25% of those holes? And you come in, you came in with free safety, you got that field, center. Maybe you got that field. I'm not certain they got that field yet. Wide receiver, you bring in Keenan Allen. Like, you need another edge rusher still. And so, like, there's still some holes, but I think that if he's looking at this thing and says, hey, I only need to fill 20-25% of the holes on my roster, I could do that with four picks. Not so much about what happens in the later rounds, but if you can get two Pro Bowl caliber players in the top 10, that's hard to argue with too, right? You saw what Houston did last year and their ability to get, you know, a Pro Bowl player on offense, Pro Bowl player on defense, like that could matter. So he may say, hey, I'm only got four. Certainly I would love to have 9 or 10 picks. Who wouldn't? But I've got two in the top 10. I can get two of the best 10 players, two of the best 9 players in this draft. And he may choose to go that round. If he does, I can't argue with that either.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's, we were talking about this before you came on about, you know, getting a second round pick if we can. And, you know, obviously that would be the best case scenario, or the easiest scenario, I would say, is to trade that pick down. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you know, there's 8 spots before that. And, you know, you're looking at maybe 8 players, the 3 quarterbacks, the 3 receivers. And the tackles. But to me, I think somebody else is going to go up there for a quarterback in there. There's definitely a possibility of that. Somebody could trade up to try to get one of those quarterbacks. It could very well happen. And somebody is going to fall. It happens every year. And, you know, to me, it could very, very good possibility those defensive players or the wide receivers are going to fall. I'm with you. I don't see any scenario where Joe Alt falls, although I would love to see that. I love Joe Alt, but I just don't see that happening, because tackle is so important in the NFL, especially a left tackle, to protect your franchise quarterbacks. But there's some questions in the chat here for you, Herb, and I want to ask you one of them. There's a thought that if the Bears don't have a winning record this year, or they struggle mightily, or they don't make the playoffs, is this the end of the line for Flus?
It'd be hard for me to not see that as the end of the line for him. I thought he did well in turning around the season last year. I'll be perfectly honest with you, Tim. After the Denver Broncos game, I was like, you could fire him right now. I don't need to see him in his post-game press conference.
He said the same thing.
if Ryan Poles would have came to that post-game press conference, I would have been perfectly okay with that. Like, yeah, no, Matt ain't coming to this press conference. He ain't coming to no more press conferences. You know what I mean? I would have been perfectly okay with that. But you got to give him credit. He turned that thing around once he took over as play caller. The defense got a lot better. I thought they were playing backwards in, you know, the first third of the season. I thought the defense was playing backwards. And what I mean by that is, you came to the season understanding that the strength of this defense, at least I understood, the strength of this defense was the back end, right? Mm-hmm. So in my estimation, you put the onus on them to perform, as opposed to dropping 7 people back every single play. The defensive line is what needs help. Your front four needs help. They can't get home by themselves. So you need to be sending an extra dude, and you tell Jalen and Bojack and your rookie corner and all of, y'all hold up. Y'all hold up in coverage in one-on-one, because we got to send somebody to get some pressure on these quarterbacks. And I talked to all those dudes in the secondary, every single one of them, to a man. They said, yeah, send the pressure. We can hold up. Just if you're going to send it, get home. You can't send it and leave us back here for 6 seconds. But if you're going to send it and the ball coming out in 2.5 seconds, we good money. We cool. They all wanted it. And so I thought they were playing backwards to start with. But when Flus took over, he started to understand that. You started to see more pressure. You started to see them bring TJ, bring Jaquan, bring Kyler. And, you know, you started to see the sacks and then the turnovers. And then obviously Montez Sweat came, and that certainly was a huge thing too. But I think – just as much as Montez Sweat coming over, Flus taking over as defense, that mattered. But also his ability to navigate that storm, right? That was a bad start, man. You can lose your locker room really, really fast and think guys can stop competing for you and give up on you a little bit. That never happened. They never stopped, you know, echoing his mantras. They never stopped really believing in what he was preaching. And they ultimately got that thing turned around. So you do have to give him a lot of credit for that. But again, that should have been a playoff team last year. Y'all lost 3 games y'all had no business losing. Like, that's just – You couldn't try to lose those games again. Like, that's hard to do, those 3 games they lost. And so we talk about Detroit, Cleveland, and Denver. So you can't lose those types of games. They did it anyway. But either way, I think that going into this season again, playoffs is the minimum, and he's going to have to own it if they don't get there.
Jeff, I know you want, you probably got some questions to ask him too, but there's something on my mind I want to ask him real quick, and then I'll let you take a couple. But you mentioned Montez Sweat, and we saw that impact. Like you said, we saw that impact immediately on the team. Not just on, you want to talk about a multiplier. That guy was the multiplier for that entire defense. And it kind of gives you the idea like, hey, you know, this is what Matt Eberflus has been saying from the beginning. If I can get pressure with these front four, this defense is going to force the turnovers. And once you started seeing that effect from Montez Sweat, the turnovers started coming, like you're talking about. So that brings me to a question about the draft. So what we saw from just picking up Montez Sweat and what that did for some of those other guys, how important would that be for you to take one of those edge rushers with the ninth pick versus trading down? Because I feel like I'll be the first to say I love Rome Odunze. I absolutely love him, and I like Marvin Harrison too.
I know he's your favorite receiver in the draft, and that's kind of wild to me. I ain't gonna lie to you, but I'm gonna accept it.
No, I'm not saying that he's a better talent than Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm not gonna sit here and say that. Yeah, I'm not gonna say he's a better talent, but I do love the guy a lot. He's a bit. Yeah. I love the personality and the player, but to me, you know, I feel like one of those guys could be there at nine, including Rome Odunze, but there's so many good wide receivers in this draft. So to me, well, I guess this is my question to you. Do you think it's more important to draft that edge? Because there's a lot of edge rushers in this draft that you can find in the first round here that are going to be difference makers, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, again, if they had a pick in between 9 and 75, that would be a much easier question to answer, because I can say, okay, just get that, go into that second tier of receivers and grab one of those guys in that gap. They don't have that right now, so that makes it a little bit harder to pass up on a Rome Odunze or a Malik if they happen to drop to that spot. That being said, even if they don't, or even if they do, even if Rome is there, I think the Bears' biggest need is on the other side of the ball right now. I just do. I think they've, you know, you brought in a move tight end with Gerald Everett. You brought in a Hall of Fame wide receiver in Keenan Allen, who for the first time, maybe since his rookie year, is not going to be the focal point of a defense's, you know, coverage. So, you know, I think you've done what needed to be done there. Could you do more? Sure. Right. Would it be phenomenal to have another receiver? Absolutely. But I think that when you talk about GMs, they're slow to give up on their pick. So I think they still believe if you got DJ Moore on one side and you got Keenan Allen on the other side, then Tyler Scott should be able to find his way to get open, right? You should be able to run some gadget things, you know, not only for Tyler Scott, but also for Velus Jones. And so he might not have in the backfield, but that's another conversation. Either way, I think they have to go defense at that point, right? I think that the idea of bringing in a Dallas Turner or Verse or Leiatu, like, I think having somebody opposite Montez Sweat is more of a need than a luxury. I think that third receiver being, you know, a grade A Pro Bowl caliber receiver is more of a luxury at this point. You got a Hall of Fame receiver, you got a Pro Bowl receiver. Like, that's more of a luxury right now than a necessity. That edge rusher opposite Montez is still a necessity. But also, that kid from Texas, the D-tackle, nuts.
Or Murphy.
Yes, Murphy. The D-tackle from Texas. He's a problem. He is a real, real problem. And, you know, we've heard Flus talk about, and we all know this, the engine of the defense being that three technique for this cover two style defense, right? You talk about Warren Sapp and Tommy Harris and other guys. You need that guy. And I know Javon Dexter came on late, and he seems to be, you know, trending upward. And I love the trajectory that he's on. But you don't have a proven three tech, right? And even if you do, at this point in the league, you need 7-8 guys in your defensive line that you can send in waves. You saw what Philly is able to do. You know, you need those, you need that type of group on your defensive line. And if you can get that guy at 9, that may be hard to pass up too. You know, we all saw the clip from, you know, 19-20 football drive when, you know, Poles and Flus are talking. He's like, yo, if that kid is there, we're taking him. Shout out to Nick Moriano. He said that day came from when the defensive linemen were on the field. you know, he matched up what Ryan Poles was wearing to that day. So shout out to Nick, man. Nick is super dope. And so, you know, if he's talking about defensive players, then you're talking about Dallas Turner or you're talking about the kid from Texas. And so, you know, if they're there, I think that he may pull the trigger on one of those guys. And so we'll see. Or verse, you know, whoever, right? We'll see. But I just think that at this point, the defensive line is a bigger need than wide receiver.
Yeah, that's actually kind of what I was going to ask you. There's been a lot of talk about edge. There's been a lot of talk about tackle. And we talk about the trench play a lot. And, you know, obviously that's an important part of this game. And you just mentioned that there's so many skill players on this offense now that are legitimate weapons. So is that really as much of a need now as addressing, you know, some trench play? So my question was then, you just mentioned Byron Murphy. Some people would say maybe he doesn't go in top 10. Maybe that's a little rich for the blood. Maybe you trade down and get him. So maybe that's an option. Do you think Jervon Dexter can be the guy, or do you think that maybe they're going to look seriously at a three technique?
Yeah, I think he could be the guy. I like Jervon Dexter. First of all, he's massive, right? Like, that's the first thing you notice about him when you see him. Like, God dang, that dude is huge.
Yeah, right? I saw him in person last year. He's a big, big dude.
He's a big, big human being. And then there were questions, obviously, about his get-off. And it was a question of, well, can he get off, or is it just what they asked him to do at Florida? And slowly but surely, he started to improve that get-off. It was a little bit of a delay at first. I watched him all camp, and I tracked it every single snap. Like, yeah, that was a little bit delayed. But he by the end of the season, he was getting off that ball. And obviously, again, Montez Sweat, being the multiplier that he is, helped out everybody. Justin Jones stepped up his game once Montez Sweat got there. And so same thing for DeMarcus Walker. But I think that I like where Jervon Dexter is headed. But even if he reaches his potential, you still need guys. You need more guys. And so as many shots as you can have at finding a dominant three tech, you want to take it. Is it hard to pass up on Roma Dunze? Absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely. That's hard to pass up. But again, you got it's only one football. You know what I mean? If you're gonna give the ball, if you're gonna give the ball to DeAndre Swift 15, 20 times a game, if you're gonna throw the ball to DJ 10 times a game, you're gonna throw the ball to Keenan 8 to 10 times a game, you're gonna throw the ball to Cole 5-7 times a game, you're gonna throw the ball to Gerald Everett, you know, 4-6 times. Like, it's only one football, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I just view that as more of a luxury than a need. And you know, I like where Jervon Dexter is headed, but if that kid at Texas is who a lot of people think he can be, pull the trigger. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. What do you think of the kid from Illinois?
I like him. Johnny Newton?
Yeah, Johnny Newton.
Hey, his tape is impressive, right? Mm-hmm. He's one of those, you know, stout guys, those, you know, small, like shorter, but just he's hard to move, man. He get his arms planted and his feet planted, and you can't move him. But he's not just immovable in the way that Billings is, right? Billings is immovable. This is my space. I own it. Go somewhere else with that shit. Johnny Newton can own his space, but he can also move. He can also get around guys and apply pressure. He's an impressive, impressive tackle. I would not have a problem with having him either. He's nice, Jeff, for real.
I like
him. Yeah, Illinois guy too.
Yeah.
So that actually leads me into something I want to ask too, Herb. So we talk about Marvin Harrison being the son of, obviously, Marvin Harrison Sr.
Right.
And another guy that I really like, and Herb, you may don't scream me for this, please. But, you know, I grew up a Bears fan, obviously, but my all-time favorite player is Jerry Rice. But, you know, I grew up in the 90s, and he was dominant. Like, that was the guy in the 90s, you know?
Can anybody complain about that?
Right. But, you know, I'm a Bears fan, so, and, you know, he played for San Francisco. But, you know, Jerry Rice was a great, probably the greatest wide receiver of all time. And his son, obviously, Brendan, is in the draft this year, and he played with Caleb Williams and had a ton of success last year. So I could see that as a pairing, Herb. What do you think? I mean, would you be happy with that? Because I know I would be.
Where do you think he's going in the draft, huh?
I've heard third, but I think he's going in the second round. I think
he goes day
three. I'm hearing he's sneaking in. I've heard people say that they could see him sneaking into the bottom of the first. That's the kind of talent they
really think
he is, right? Yeah. I've heard that recently. I don't think that's true. I do think he's going to be a second-round pick, though. I really do.
If, It's such a deep draft, that receiver, man. And, you know, who knows what – it just depends on when the run starts, right? Right? You they'll sit there for a while, and then somebody will take one, and then everybody like, oh, boom, 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 and then you'll have six of them go in 15 picks. You know what I mean? So it depends on when that run on receivers starts. If he's there at a spot where the Bears can take him, cool. I wouldn't prioritize him much. You know what I mean? I definitely would not put any expectations – related to his father on him.
Right.
None. Absolutely. I know Jeff Jordan. He's a friend of mine. And I used to tell him all the time, bro, why do you play basketball? You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't do that if I was you. You know what I mean? Everybody is like, well, he ain't his daddy. No shit, he ain't his daddy. I would tell him all, like, if I was you, I would have never touched the basketball, sir. but you know, so I wouldn't put a single expectation in terms of a correlation to his father on Brendan. Like that's unfair, first of all, but also it's unrealistic. So you know, he's a talent. There's a lot of receivers in this draft, and so I think you'll be able to find some value at receiver, you know, in the middle rounds of this draft. If he's that guy, cool, no problem. Just don't bring him in here reading the name on the back of his jersey too much.
Right.
I'll buy the jersey, though. I can tell you that. I'll buy the jersey.
There's another receiver at USC that's getting a lot of praise lately, too. Washington. Is
Taj Washington.
Taj Washington, yeah. He looks like he's going up draft boards right now. So I think he could be an intriguing fit. Maybe he's a later round guy, possibly as a slot guy. My question is, like, the way I kind of lean is, since Keenan Allen hasn't been extended yet, do the Bears see him as like a multi-year thing? Do they plan to extend him? And if they do, even if they do, and he's more of a slot role, which is what I kind of envision him as, they still kind of need an X in that scenario. So where do they go after him? And like you said, there is going to be a run on receiver somewhere. The fact that they don't have a second round pick kind of makes me wonder, well, where are they going to get one at? So that's why we kind of mentioned earlier, like, well, if there is a receiver like a Rome Odunze available at 9, can you pass on that? Or is it, you know, more worth it to you to take someone else there, like an edge defender or like an offensive tackle? It just depends on who's there. So, go ahead, Herb.
It just depends, right? Now, could they extend Keenan Allen? And I think he still has another good 2-3 years left in him. Do they want those 2 or 3 years, or would they, you know, try to go younger and cheaper? Perhaps, right? It just depends on where Ryan Poles is, but also where Keenan Allen is in terms of, do I want to go end up my career playing for 3-4 different teams on the way out, right? Or do I just want to, you know, give the Bears, you know, 2 or 3 years at a reasonable price and gone about my business with the potential of winning the Super Bowl, right? Because you got to bring in a receiver, and again, not having that pick in that second, third round area is tough, because you're talking about not being able to bring in a guy that you can see as a surefire starter, right? Opposite DJ Moore. And you got to be able to find a guy that can be that other guy. We know that the top three receivers, those dudes could be that guy, right? Even if Keenan Allen leaves, those three dudes could step into that spot and be that guy for you. You get later in there. I know it's a lot of talent. I know it's a deep class, but you're talking about guys that would be very, very nice as your third. But I don't know what that would look like as you know, your second. So I don't know. It just depends on how the board falls. Like Jeff said, when that run on receivers happens, and where Ryan Poles thinks he's at, and where Keenan Allen thinks he's at.
Yeah. Really quickly, Jeff, one second. I want to ask something really quick, too, with that. So, like you said, with those guys, with Neighbors, Harrison, and Odunze, I just feel like they need an X. And to me, this is the time to do it. I mean, this is the year that you could probably get one later in the draft, because you've got those two receivers here already that could help develop them. I just want to get your thoughts on that really quick.
Yeah, I think that just, you know, Ryan Poles, like, I don't think the Bears, I don't think their Super Bowl window is open right now. Right? I think it opens legitimately next year. And extending Keenan Allen or, you know, trying to figure out how you can get one of those guys next year, that's also an option, right? And so you're trying to figure out which holes do I need to fill the most? How do I get closer to a Super Bowl? And I don't know right now that bringing in your number three receiver gets you closer than bringing in your starting D tackle or your starting DN. I don't know that gets you closer right now, especially when you're not ready, right? If you one player away or something like that, it's a different conversation, but I don't think you're one player away, and I definitely don't think you're going to find that one player in the third or fourth round. So I tend to think that that's something you can kind of push down the road a little bit because you brought in Keenan Allen and because you drafted Ty Scott. I know he didn't show up in some key situations last year, but I think the kid is still talented. I think he's got, you know, that uncoached, that unteachable trait of speed. It matters to him, but you know, he certainly got to improve. And I think he can. I just don't know that that is priority right now. I think that's something that they may be able to push down the road just a little bit. And there's a lot of talented guys. You got the kid from North Carolina. You got the kid, two kids at Texas, two kids at SC. Like there's some dudes, man. There's some dudes there. But I just don't think that that is a necessity right now as much as I believe it to be a luxury.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And I kind of, in my opinion, I kind of think that that's the way they'll lean is more towards trench play, but we'll have to wait and see. But in any case, Herb, we really appreciate you coming on. Guys, just to let you know, you can follow him at Herb Howard 411. He also makes appearances on CHGO on occasion. He's the co-host of Herb and Two podcast. So again, Herb, thanks so much for coming on. We really
appreciate y'all kicking me off already.
Well, we got to get out of here. We're running short on time ourselves, so
we got another show coming on for our
time. So we got to get out, unfortunately. But
hey, but you're welcome to come on anytime, Herb.
Sure. I mean, it's my fault I don't get as much time with y'all. I was the one that was late, so I'll definitely come back when y'all invite me for sure.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, we'd love you. Love to have you back on. So we appreciate you, Herb, for being on, and we appreciate you guys all being here as usual on a Friday night. So, we'll be back again next week. And again, Herb, thanks so much for being here, and you're invited to come back on in the future. As we said before, we'd love to have you. So,
absolute pleasure, man. Thank y'all so much for having me. Again, y'all do phenomenal work. I know y'all going to keep rolling with that. So thanks for having me. Look forward to coming back sometime.
Appreciate the compliments, Herb. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Herb. Great stuff there. And, you know, that's very, very flattering for Herb to say something like that to us. You guys know we're pretty new to this thing. We've only had the podcast for a couple months now. Excuse me. We didn't start until midway through the season with this. So really appreciate him saying that. Excuse me. I got hiccups for a second there. Appreciate him saying that. It means a lot. You know, we're all in this together, guys. You know, so, you know, any way we can support each other, this is how we grow this thing. You know, and just growing all of these podcasts, you know, I try to watch, as many of them as I can from people that aren't necessarily very well known, you know, try to spread the word and get guys out there. You know, this is how we grow this thing, and got to support each other. We're all Bears fans here. And if you guys, you know, we're not the only show on Barroom Network, guys, and get on there and watch some of the other videos and some of the other pods. It's good stuff, guys, all around. There's a lot of really good stuff. You know, I'm not a Chicago baseball fan, but there's, you know, they talk, we've got, that's a baseball pod. Huh? What? Sorry.
That's your problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Reds fan. Sorry. But anyway, I mean, we got podcasts for that. We've got hockey talk. You know, we've got a draft show, Draft on Tap with Danny Shimon. I mean, you guys, there's a lot of really great content here at the Barroom Network. Not just ours and on the out, you know, there's a lot of guys outside of the Barroom that have been on the Barroom before. Greg Braggs has been on the Barroom Network before. He works for CHGO now. Coach T's out there. He's got his own podcast. If you guys haven't watched that, it's good stuff as well. You know, we got to spread the word and spread the love, guys, just like Herb was saying. So we really appreciate you guys being on here with us. Jeff, you got any closing thoughts you want to make before we get out of here?
No, there was a thing I wanted to get to, but I wouldn't be able to answer it fast enough. So maybe we can address it next week. But I really do appreciate you guys being here as always. It was great content today. It's the first time we've had a guest in a little while. So I do appreciate Herb coming on. It was great content from him. Just a reminder, guys, as always, please follow us, subscribe to the channel at Barroom Network. Give us a follow on Twitter at Jaws0235, at TimWillis24. And as always, guys, we're here every Friday. So after the show today, we got weekend sports betting tips at 5. So stay tuned for that if you guys are into betting and want to get some March Madness news, probably some good bets for March Madness. So, Brian, I appreciate your love for the Van Halen shirt last week. It's one of my favorite band shirts I have. So,
Before we get out of here too,
yeah,
you guys are watching March Madness, but I'm watching March Madness this weekend. If you guys don't know, it's the NCAA Division I Wrestling Championships this weekend. It's been really good stuff. It started yesterday afternoon. If you guys get a chance, get on ESPN and ESPN Plus and watch some of the wrestling. You guys will enjoy it. Good football players come out of that.
Thanks again, guys. As Aldo says, I quoted last week, nobody knows shit. We don't know shit, and we won't know shit until after the draft. So I got a comment on my Van Halen shirt earlier. I'm wearing one of my Jimi Hendrix shirts today. So before we get out of here, let me just say to you guys, excuse me while we kiss the sky. We'll be right back.